You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Real Housewives of Miami After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Miami After Show.
Going back to Cali, Cali. I'm going back to Cali, Cali, Cali.
Hey guys, Bing is for doing, and this is your after show for Real Housewives of Miami. We are going to cover the season 3, episode 7, La La Land, and we're going to get right into the girls. First, my name is Brooke Chavez,
and I want to know who I am. And I'm Michelle Renee.
And we're happy to be here. We're just so excited about this episode. We just want to get right into it. We're excited because the ladies are heading to our city, Los Angeles. We see Joanna, Lisa, and Leah on a plane, getting crazy.
Yeah.
Drinking, popping Xanaxes.
Putting their legs over their heads.
Exactly. Turning themselves into pretzels.
Yeah. And Joanna can do that, but still, I guess, not enough for Roman to want some of it.
So sad. That's such an important part of a relationship. I just don't know how she's marrying someone that she doesn't sleep with. What is going on, woman?
Well, I guess it's like her mom says later in the episode. It's like, I would not be marrying him if he was not.
Exactly. You know, you'd have to have all of it, right?
Yeah. And we find out also at the beginning of the episode that Leah has a house in L.A., which, I mean, comes as no surprise. Obviously, she has lots of money, so she probably has houses all over the country. But I just didn't know that she had a house in L.A.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't really strike me. I mean, she doesn't strike me as the Miami type either, but
Definitely not the L.A.
Definitely
LA
not
type.
The L.A. type. So.
And her house is so cool. Like, so she
yeah, and
very,
modern,
very modern, yeah. Very L.A. It's as L.A. as it gets.
Yeah.
All white, everything. I like that. I like seeing the other part of the girls, like their other lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Same thing with Joanna. She has a beautiful house in L.A., and I'm like, wow, this is a stark difference in comparison to the house they just bought in Miami, which we were kind of trashing last week. But
I had a question kind of like, they make such a big deal, especially Joanna, about living in Miami versus Los Angeles. She says that when her and Roman decide to have kids, they're definitely going to have a discussion about where they're going to live permanently. And so it made me wonder, like, what are the differences between Miami and Los Angeles? Like, to make her feel that way? Like, is it a cost of living thing or a weather thing or do you know?
Well, I mean, I obviously live in L.A. and I actually dated a guy who lived in Miami. So I spent a lot of time in Miami on Star Island in South Beach. And there's definitely a huge culture difference because there are so many Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I feel like Miami is so much more diverse. I mean, here in L.A., you get diversity, but not in the same sense of, like, the cultural diversity, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people here in L.A. are in the entertainment industry, and there's lots of actors and producers. And in Miami, you know, there's a big modeling scene. I know there are lots of, like, modeling agencies. I just feel like it's a little more...
So you obviously like Los Angeles better, or was that just a... it just happened that way?
No, I definitely love Los Angeles better, but that's not to say that I didn't like the cultural Cuban scene in Miami. There's more of that flavor, I guess you could say, and it's a little more broken up too. Well, LA is really pretty sprawling also.
Yeah.
But there's not that huge of a difference in terms of the way people care about, like, nutrition and fitness
looking
and, like,
their
the way
best.
They look and, like, going out and, like, the party scene. Mm-hmm. I didn't see much of a difference there.
Yeah, except for the clubs in Miami stay open until, like, 5.
Exactly. And they serve alcohol till, like, 3 or 4.
Yeah, which is better, always. So,
this is true. But, I mean, for Joanna, you would think that she would definitely be in L.A. because more of her work is in L.A. I know she's repped here in L.A., I believe, and...
she probably has a modeling agency in Miami as well. I would imagine.
Right. But she's now that she's doing Top Model and she's doing more.
She's doing Top Model?
She is the host of America's Next Top Model in Poland.
Oh, okay, got you. I thought you were talking about America's Next Top Model.
Yeah, yeah, America. In Poland. And I think she's doing more television stuff, projects. Mm-hmm. And that's a more of an LA thing.
Yeah. I mean, I just think overall in this episode, she seemed happier in Los Angeles. She seemed to just come alive more. I know that sounds corny. And maybe it's because her mother was there. That's kind of the only reason I could think. Mm-hmm. But she just seemed a lot happier and more comfortable.
She did. She seemed completely different in a sense. She always seems like she's just ready to get the heck out of Miami when she's in Miami.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like she's itching to go. So, but this trip was so much fun. Like I said, I liked being able to go in and see their other lives and, I just did not expect Joanna's house, but all of her, I did expect all of the litter of animals that she had there, the dogs and the kittens, and, but I was not impressed with the whole Birkin scene. I thought that was just a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Birkins are that difficult to get, but, I'm just surprised that they put that much focus on it. And I'm disappointed at Lisa that she's so obsessed with these purses. I mean, I'm into fashion. Like, I like nice purses, nice jewelry. But that she was like freaking out about it. I mean, I just didn't think that I didn't realize that she was so superficial.
Yeah. Well, to go back to the dog scene really quickly, that I just think those too many dogs. It was making this like multi-million-dollar house look like a hoarder's house. There's just like there comes a point when there are too many animals. And I know she loves animals. I know that's a big part of her charity work is with animal rescue. But I think she needs to have like a separate space for them
or area.
Yeah, an outside big doghouse or something, because that just to me, like, I can just only imagine that you walk in and there's like dog hair everywhere, like one of those places where you sit down and you have to get up and you're like, do you have a lint roller so I can like get all
or the smell
and
a lot of these dogs are rescue dogs, so they're probably not potty trained, so I can just imagine them like pooping and peeing all over the house, like my mom has a dog when she comes and visits, and like I can smell her dog when she leaves. So
that was just my
And also, when I saw this, when I saw what she had, and then she mentioned she has five other houses that she rents out, like one in Encino and all over Los Angeles, and I'm like, girl, and you're worried about signing a prenup, like not signing a prenup, you need a prenup, because I don't know what Roman has, but if you have six or seven houses, and you had those five or six houses before Roman, like you need to protect that.
Well, I mean, are they Romans, or, because she didn't really make it clear if
they were. She said my houses.
Yeah, she did. But I don't know. Like, she didn't make it very clear, I don't think, as to whether they were solely hers and Roman's, or if they were just Roman's, and she is saying they're hers because they're about to get engaged. I mean, well, about to get married.
Right. And not to discredit Roman, all I know is that he owns Mint, like, nightclub. Yeah. And I don't know that what else he does. And Joanna's been a, like, professional working model, top-ranked model for a really long time. She's done a lot. Like I said, America's Next Top Model and catalogs, and she was like the face of Fredericks for a long time, and she, you know, Sports Illustrated, Playboy. I mean, she has I would think she has some of her own assets to protect.
Yeah, so. I totally agree. Interestingly enough, though, we've heard her say multiple times during the season that she's poor, or that they're poor compared Leah and Lisa. So I don't know. Roman Dino doesn't have that much to bring to the table.
He said he started.
I mean, relatively speaking,
he started out as a janitor at nightclubs, and then he worked his way up to like barback.
Yeah,
this is his story. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but
well, that's admirable.
That for sure.
Doesn't pay the bills.
Exactly. I just still can't believe that they've been engaged for 6 years. So we talk. She and her mother talk about that when they go dress shopping. This part of the LA trip as well. And I love, love, love that she's doing like a non-traditional dress. I really love that. Because she just didn't look great in like those long dresses. I think her dress is so cute. But her mom's reaction, like how would you feel if your mom was just like, okay, when she came out in that dress?
Yeah, I mean, I think their whole shopping trip was a little
staged.
Well, I mean, everything in the show is staged, let's be real. But
really staged.
Most of the time when you go to, I would imagine that when you go to pick out a wedding dress with your mother or with your large bridal party or whomever may be going with you.
I have to say large. Large relative.
No. Large bridal party. Whoever, I'm just thinking, say yes to the dress here, and there's always like 17 people and they all disagree and, you know. But anyway, I just think that kind of the joy in it is like trying on the dresses and seeing what works and what doesn't work, and that whole process is what makes people at the end get teary-eyed. And so for her to go and already have this sketch made and the dress not be physically there for her to try it on.
Right.
And maybe it was and we just didn't see it because they didn't want to ruin the end of the show for us. But I just think maybe that's why her mother's reaction wasn't, you know, that typical, let me shed a tear, my daughter looks so beautiful in this wedding dress. It's right. Like she's staring at a piece of paper, you know.
And she knew that the dress that she had put on was not the dress that she was planning on getting anywhere, or that it wasn't even a prospect, so.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Yeah. But it was just nice to see them all in a new environment and just to see something different. I'm obviously partial because they're in L.A., so. But then we see something very different. We're seeing all this loveliness and wedding planning. And then going back to Miami, we see Alexia and her son Peter at the venue shoot. And we get a glimpse, a deeper glimpse into Peter and Alexia's relationship and the problems and struggles that he's been having of late. And so what did you think about the whole incident? I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, well, I will say this. Alexia has grown on me a bit this season. Like, coming from last season into this season, I could not stand her. She was one of my, I don't want to say not stand, that's a little harsh, but she was one of my least favorite characters, especially after the whole incident with the article last year and Karen. I just really didn't like the way she behaved. But this season, she's grown on me a little bit, and I like the fact that, although I don't agree with her, like, buying Peter, like, a Cuban link chain or whatever, especially while he was being disrespectful to her and unappreciative, or her, like, lying to the cop to, you know, defend him. I do like that she's very self-reflective. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great quality when people can, you know, look at themselves and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, these are things I need to work on, you know, and admit that they're not perfect. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that with Alexia this year. She mentions, you know, in the past that the way she's dealt with issues is to just smile and act like they're not there. Mm-hmm. And that her doing that for years and years has caused her to essentially turn a blind eye to the fact that her son is headed in the total wrong direction. So I do like her for that. But like I said, with the issue, with the whole venue, magazine, photo shoot, her son kicking the taxi cab. I don't think she handled that right.
Yeah, I thought she handled it really poorly. I love that we're seeing this issue being played out on television, because it's a real issue that moms have to deal with their kids who are growing up, especially someone who's 18, 19, and is, you know, really defiant, and it seems like he's a bit depressed and is just trying to figure out his way in life still. But one of the things that I notice is that what she does with him is oftentimes she doesn't let him face his own consequences, you know, and she really straight up lied to the policeman about the fact that he even kicked the cab. And, you know, I think that if she didn't shelter him as much, then, you know, maybe, and he actually faced some of his consequences and he wouldn't be where he is. I think he expects that his mom's just going to bail him out anytime. And, you know, that's not always, sometimes tough love is better than, you know. And he's pissed at his mom at the same time. Like, he has these resentments towards her because she also sheltered him when he was younger and didn't tell him anything about his dad or the fact that his dad was in jail. And obviously it's hard to tell someone who's five that your dad is in jail, but he didn't find out until he was 18, he mentions, anything about his dad. And he only found out through these bloggers who were calling him to ask him. And so I think he's just really lost. But, and she babies him so much and wants to shelter him so much that he, you know, doesn't feel like he can, like, I don't know, grow up and be a man.
I mean, I think that he's going through the typical teen angst. And, I mean, we've all been there growing up. There's times when you just don't know the answers, when you're trying to figure yourself out, when you're questioning your family, when you're questioning everything around you. And oftentimes in those situations, the best way to handle it, I think, is tough love. And that's the problem. It's not that there's necessarily anything wrong with him. I think it's the fact that Alexia has made it worse on him by trying to make it better by providing him material things or by ignoring his actions or hiding things from him. So he just needs a swift kick in the butt.
He does.
And Herman, who, I mean, in this situation, if she would have married someone different, you know, I don't know Herman. We barely see him on the show, but based on just a little bit we know, I think he's maybe a little bit older, you know, more of a businessman, not really the rugged type.
Right.
But, I mean, if she would have married someone different who would have been more aggressive with her boys, who's to say that the situation wouldn't have turned out differently, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's just, it's unfortunate because Peter really, that was another thing. Peter really idolizes his dad and he's wanting to be more like his dad. And one thing that he mentions, Alexia always used to say, you know, your dad's really just a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
to put it to politely. Put it,
exactly. But then she goes and tells Peter other times, oh my gosh, you remind me of your dad so much. So he's basically getting that his mom thinks he's a piece of crap. And that's the problem. And she mentions that she is really self-reflective and she does look back and say, okay, this is what I'm doing wrong. But she mentions, you know, the worst thing you can do when parents are separated or, you know, one's not in the other child's life or you're spending time with one parent versus the other is talk bad about the other parent because, I mean, yeah, to the children,
mm-hmm.
because it's a reflection on them. And then sometimes they feel like they have to choose. And so,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely a sticky situation. And, so, I mean, I guess we're discussing now kind of the whole, mediation between her mother, who's a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever, and her and Peter. And you know, it comes up that he felt, I guess, but I don't know if betrayed is the right word, but he felt that his mother had kind of lied by omission to him by not telling him at 5 years old that his father was in jail. Now, I don't know how I would handle the situation, but does a five-year-old even know what jail is, really? Like, maybe. Some 5-year-olds in certain parts of Los Angeles do, but that was bad. But
it's true.
But, you know, I think she made the right decision in not telling her 5-year-old that his dad was in jail. Like, I think that if I were in this situation, I would probably wait until my child was a little bit older, and I definitely wouldn't keep it from them. But I think that she did the right thing by not telling him, especially if his dad got out when he was 5. You know, how many memories do you really remember from when you were 5?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think she should have told him when he's that young. But apparently she still hadn't told him, and he found out from someone else when he was 18. So I think at some point she should have sat down and had a talk with him, because I'm sure he asked about his father because he hasn't had a relationship with him. Am I gathering right?
I was under the impression that she finally told him, or he finally found out at whatever time between the age of 5 and 18, that his father had been in jail, that his father had done this, had done that. But that he found out a lot of other things about his father when the bloggers came knocking at his door for an interview. So that's what I was under the impression of, but I don't know. I may be incorrect.
Don't we all find out a lot of extra stuff about our parents when we get to that certain age when we're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And when you look back and you're like, oh, wait, well, that was that and that was really that. And I remember that time when I thought it was one thing when I was 10, and now that I'm 20, I realize that it was something else. I mean, it's just part of growing up.
You also realize your parents aren't perfect and they're not almighty, because when you're little, you think that they can do no wrong and they know everything. And then you grow up and you're like, wait, I'm much smarter than my mom and dad.
Yeah.
At least that's what you think. And I'm sure now he's realizing that, and he's just feeling really resentful because he didn't know half of what was going on. And of course, what was going on with his father was, you know, on a deeper level, since he was, you know, running this huge drug cartel. I mean, it's not like, oh, you know, I didn't know that dad smoked weed when he was, you know, a teenager, that type of deal.
I didn't know that dad sold coke when he was...
I didn't know that dad was Pablo Escobar of Miami.
That dad was a pimp. Like, when he said that, I was like, whoa.
And he's proud of it. He's like,
yeah,
he's like, I'm glad you married my dad who was a pimp. And
didn't marry some nerd lawyer. So is Herman a lawyer?
I don't think so, because he owns Venue. I don't know. Okay. I need to look that up.
He probably does a lot of things. Well, head over to iTunes. We want to hear your comments, of course. Do you think that Alexia did the right thing in keeping it from her son that his father was in jail? Or would you have told your son or daughter that their father was incarcerated? You can go to iTunes, rate our after show, and comment. Please give us 5 stars. You can also comment on YouTube video. Speaking of iTunes, while you're there, be sure to check out The Adventures of Serial Buddies. It was a film that was produced by the creators of AfterBuzz, Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. It's a really funny comedy. So make sure you purchase that. You can not only get it at iTunes, but you can also get it on Netflix. You can get it at Blockbuster, Target, and 7-Eleven as well.
7E, you pick up a Slurpee and Cereal Buddies, right? Those are so good, but so bad for you. Okay, moving on to Lisa, Leah, and Joanna. They're still in LA, hanging out, walking down Rodeo Drive, buying jewelry, being big pimps, like Peter puts it.
And checking out venues for the wedding.
Venues for the wedding. They go to San Diego.
They do. And we see a little mashup of, like, juxtaposition, I guess, between... Mm-hmm. The way I wrote it down was, friends versus family. We see Joanna with Leah and Lisa. None of her family members are there. We see, obviously, that Adriana's fiance is there and her son's there. Then we see outside versus inside, like the outside wedding versus the inside wedding. And then we see, of course, like Los Angeles versus Miami.
Right, and the wedding, Joanna's wedding is very, like, modern and chic. And then Adriana's wedding is going to be more of a classic Great Gatsby 20s type wedding.
And you were not feeling the idea that the guests had to go change?
I was not feeling that idea. I mean, it sounds fun and that they're all in white and then they have to change it. Like, how many guests is she going to have? And how big is this presidential suite that they mentioned where they'll all go change? Are you going to, like, wait in line to go change? Or if you have to wait, you're going to go to your car and go change? I don't know. It just seems a little bit of a hassle.
And
I'm all for change. But
one demand per wedding. Like, first off, you have to wear white.
Exactly.
Secondly, you have to get rent or have a Great Gatsby theme costume custom made, and then of course you have to bring a gift to the wedding as well. So
yeah,
it's just like, it just lay off me, Adriana.
The food better be really good.
It better be really good.
But I thought it was so cute that we see Alex and Frederick hug, and it's nice to see that Alex is okay with it, because it just seems like he's already been through a lot with Adriana and Leah fighting, and then his best friend is a little odd.
And by best friend, she means Leah Black's
son. Leah Black's son.
Yeah. Roy Jr., RJ.
RJ.
Oh, RJ.
We love him. But, and then, yeah, so we see Joanna's wedding venue, and I thought it was a little sparse. But I think she's going to really dress it up.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. I think it was a
she's
little bit...
She's going to change it completely.
The weather, it seemed a little overcast that day, and maybe the foliage wasn't as green as it could have been.
Yeah.
But I think she's definitely going to jazz it up. And going back to Adriana, though, I thought it was really cute that she's going to let her son, like, DJ.
I know.
Like, that's
so
cute.
Cute.
That's so great.
How many, like, celebrity sons, like, DJ? Like, every little kid out there wants to be DJ, including Paris Hilton. Anywho. So, with Joanna, the biggest thing that, you know, I was thinking about and we definitely have to get into is that Lisa's there, and Lisa's like, I wonder if I'm going to be a bridesmaid. And Joanna tells Lisa, if you're going to be in Adriana's wedding party as a bridesmaid, I don't want you to be in my... Basically, I want you to choose. I want you to pick a side. Here's my ultimatum. I don't want you to be with that person who's physically abused me. What do you think about this?
I actually agree with Joanna. And the reason why, I just think she's better friends with Joanna. And if you think about it, Adriana also kind of gave her an ultimatum too. Whenever they were at her wedding dress shopping or whatever it was, she's like, well, I don't want a double agent. You aren't going to be in Joanna's wedding either. So while it wasn't a, like, either A or B, you pick my side or hers, it was still kind of the undertone of, you know, you need to figure out who you're better friends with and act accordingly. So I agree. If there was someone that I, not necessarily someone that I had gotten into a physical fight with in the past, because if I had gotten into a fight with someone and made up with them and everything was fine now, then it would be different if I had a friend that was in her wedding as well. Mm-hmm. But if it was an issue that was still ongoing, there was still tension, just weeks earlier our fiancés had gotten into arguments and there was still drama surrounding it, I just wouldn't want that energy in my wedding. Like, it's your wedding day. You know, I just think everything's supposed to be perfect, and I wouldn't want someone that was in my enemy's wedding to be in mine.
Sure. So I can kind of see both sides. Like, I think it's very immature for someone to say, you know, this, I don't like this person and you're in her wedding party, so I don't want you in mine. Like, that's a very junior high, high school, even elementary school. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't play with them and play with me type deal. But at the same time, I don't feel like Lisa should have that much trouble deciding. She seems to be much better friends with Joanna.
Yeah.
And they've always kind of been on each other's side. And I don't feel like Adriana and Lisa have ever had really much of a bond at all. I've never seen them, like, hang out together and have, like, girl heart-to-hearts or, like, they really have anything in common at all. I almost remember, I think, Adriana bad-mouthing Lisa at one point when, you know, the little Blonterage crew was doing their thing. And she's like, well, we don't want to be over there with them anyway. Type deal. She kind of lumped her in with Leah and Joanna, and then all of a sudden she decides she just wants to pluck her out and go ahead and have her as her bridesmaid. I really think that Adriana might have made that decision just to piss Joanna off.
Like, you think so?
Like, let me see if I can get her first, because, you know, you also play that game when two girls are fighting, like, let me see, I want to get everyone on my side first before the other person can, so.
I mean, I also, the thought crossed my mind that perhaps Joanna's little ultimatum was just her way of covering up the fact that she really didn't want Lisa in her wedding.
Yeah, that's possible, too.
So, I mean, because I mean, if you think about it, she probably knew that Lisa wasn't going, after she had already accepted Adriana's, you know, invitation to be in her wedding, she probably knew that Lisa wasn't going to say no to Adriana. So the perfect way to kind of, you know, not make herself look bad was to be like, okay, well, you have to choose, knowing that she wasn't going to choose. So then instead of her being the bad person, it seems like, oh, well, I had a legitimate reason for not including her, when really it was just that she...
Right, and I can see Joanna doing that.
Yeah, because I think if we go back to the beginning of the season, Lisa mentioned that in between seasons, Joanna hadn't been contacting her as much, they hadn't been talking as much, and their friendship kind of was in a weird place.
Yeah, she's like, you never call me to Joanna. Joanna's like, well, I work. I'm working. And then also, when Leah was with Joanna and they were planning the LA party, I don't know if you recall, but Lisa said, oh, so am I going to be a bridesmaid? And Joanna was like, well, Leah was like, well, you'll have to talk to Joanna about that. And Joanna was like, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
She wasn't like right away, of course I want you to be a bridesmaid. So
yeah. I mean, I think Lisa should, and I mean, I don't know. She seems like a very nice, sweet girl. And I don't know how many bridesmaids she has had, but maybe she's one of those people that's just like, you know, even if you're like an acquaintance, like, you know, I love you, be in my wedding. But I think that she maybe could learn her place in this situation. And we don't see Leah, you know, pressing the issue or Leah being like, oh, I want to be in your wedding. And Leah this season has been there a lot for Joanna and, you know, kind of been acting as like a mentor to her.
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't expect to be in the wedding.
And
so
I'm surprised she hasn't mentioned it.
So I think Lisa should understand that it's a wedding. Some people have different standards as far as friendship goes and as far as what friends they will consider friend enough to be in their wedding party.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see what happens.
We will. But we know that she's not in the wedding. Spoiler alert. She ends up not
being
in the wedding.
So, for sure.
Well, that's what Jake said.
We got a... I read a viewer's comment who said, and I forget your name, but we love that you guys... You watch and that you commented and said that Lisa was in the wedding. And if you go online to bravo.com and look at Joanna's wedding pictures, that Lisa is part of the bridal party. I don't know if this is true and I have not checked, but I did read your comment. And so... I'll check tonight.
So we need to do our research.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
I hope she was because, you know, they're good friends and it's just ridiculous. Life is too short to feel like you have to make a choice of, like, being friends with people.
Yeah.
Well, I'm friends with everybody, so I'm the wrong person.
How many bridesmaids did you have?
Not that. That's a whole other story. I'm in the middle of a divorce. We're not talking about my wedding. But
okay. Sorry.
But you know, Lisa did say she had never been a bridesmaid, so she's just excited to be a bridesmaid.
Oh, she said she's never been a bridesmaid?
Mm-mm. She's like, oh, I'm so excited when Adriana asked her. She's like, I've never been a bridesmaid, so... And that's fun, you know? It's fun to do that and be a part of someone's bridal party. So she just wants to be a part. She's the mediator, remember? Instead of Lisa Hochstein, it's Lisa Mediator.
I mean, for instance, Lisa doesn't have any friends. Like, I don't know why she doesn't have any friends. She's really nice, like I said, and sweet. And besides Daisy, that's like the only person we ever
saw. That we know of on the show, right?
That we know of on the show. But I mean, usually other characters, if you think about it, we've seen Lisa, Joanna had a lot of her friends at dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. Leah, we always see her with various different friends. And I put friends in air quotes just because, you know, her definition of friendship, I think, might be a little off.
What can you do for me?
But and even, you know, when the Cuban crew went to Polo, they invited Lauren, whatever his name is, along.
Lauren Foster.
And it's just like sometimes you see people with supporting characters and other friends that they hang out with occasionally on the show. Not only in this, you know, cast, but also throughout the Housewives themes. It's like, you know, you include your friends. If one of my friends was a housewife, I'd be like, yeah, you're inviting me over,
exactly.
You know, for tea or whatever. So for her, it's like we only see her with her dogs. And it's like, does she really have good girlfriends?
Yeah,
whose weddings she would have been in? Mm-hmm. Do they all still live in Canada? Or what is that happening?
Yeah, because she doesn't... I don't take her as someone who's not a girl's girl.
Yeah, no, she definitely
because
is.
Because she's, like, so sweet and nice. But they're... Also, I feel like I get two different pictures of her at times. Like, sometimes she's really sweet and, like, loving and says she cares about animals and she's a great wife or whatever. And then other times it's, like, all she's talking about is, like, diamonds and boobs getting, you know...
Yeah.
Whatever. Botox and, like, Birkins. And I don't know. She's just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think she's become,
I don't know if that,
like,
can turn women off.
Yeah, I don't know if, I mean, it can definitely turn women off if they don't have that, if they can't afford Birkins, or if they don't We don't know if the necklace cost $400,000 or $40,000. I thought it was $40,000, but I don't know. In any case, the necklace was very expensive that she got last episode from her husband. Or was it the episode before last?
Before last.
So, you know, if you're hanging out with women who can't necessarily afford Birkins or who can't afford those things, then maybe that is a turnoff. And maybe that's an issue with her and Joanna. Joanna does have nice things, and we see that she has her own money. But she also, at the same time, isn't, you know, going crazy over Birkin bags mm-hmm. or, you know, getting presented with all this big jewelry from her soon-to-be husband. So maybe that's an issue that they have. Maybe it's just kind of too much of a focus on material.
I also recall Lisa can sometimes have an attitude every once in a while. I mean, she definitely stands up for herself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I just wonder if, like what her life was like back in Canada. Because with Joanna, we obviously know that she's from Poland. With Leah, we know that she's from Texas, that she did this makeup company. She met Roy when she was doing jury duty. What have we heard about Lisa? What do we know about Lisa's beginnings?
Yeah,
we
know
that
much.
She was a playboy.
Didn't she? Wasn't model. She living in Vegas?
She was living in Vegas, and that's how she met Lenny. And she did Playboy, maybe, or didn't? I don't know.
I think she was like one of the hometown hotties or something.
Yeah.
For Playboy. Nothing like, not a cover or spread or anything.
Yeah. And that's all we know about her. We don't know anything about the amount of siblings she has. We've never heard her have a telephone conversation with her mom or dad.
That's true. We don't know anything about her
family.
Yeah.
And maybe they're passed away. I don't know. God forbid. But I just think it's interesting that we don't know that much about her.
She does seem like a loner. We don't have much background on her.
We don't have any friends. We don't have any family.
And what does she do every day?
I don't know. Now that Daisy's not there, I really don't know.
Aside from, like, get Botox and help Daisy get implants or lipo.
So, yeah, I don't know what she does.
That's something else we need to do our homework on. If anyone knows anything about Lisa, what was her maiden name? Do you remember?
No.
Huckstein.
So that's what I just... We don't know anything
she's
about
an enigma
her.
To me. Sometimes she's, like, wonderful to watch. I think she's so beautiful. And then other times, you just get this, like, I don't know, weird feeling. She's wishy-washy.
Yeah. But, I mean, I definitely get the feeling that all this, you know, new wealth and all this stuff is new to her.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely what they call new money.
Yeah, so...
Not that, you know, and so she's, like, apparently, not that I have money or anything, but, you know, people who have a lot of money don't talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always talking about it and talking about the things that she can get or wants or already has.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's, like, the nouveau riche.
Yeah. Which, again,
hey,
is a
know,
difference.
More power to you.
Yeah. Which, again, is a difference between her and Joanna because Joanna doesn't talk about it or flaunt it as much.
Do you feel like Leah does?
Leah does. I mean, these diamond earrings are $20,000 or whatever. Not $20,000. That was
40,
so awesome.
40, 10 times.
$1 million earrings. Like, she definitely does. So I don't know. I mean, the Cuban crew actually doesn't really, if you think about it.
No, not so much. I'm kind of missing Karen now that I think about all these girls. Because it's been a little, I love my Housewives, I love Miami, but it's just been a little flat so far with what's been going on between them, between everyone. We're just waiting on this wedding, on these two weddings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the previews definitely look like we got some exciting things in store with the bachelorette parties.
Yes.
Joint bachelorette party,
ooh,
it looks like.
That's another thing, guys. If you guys watched today, they showed previews where we see a bachelorette party, and the first thing I noticed was that Joanna and Adriana were at the same bachelorette party together, partying it up in Vegas. I don't know what happened, but I definitely want to see. And I loved how they segued into something crazy happens in Vegas. They all wake up, a la Hangover. They're like, what happened? And then we see them on the side of the road calling their, you know, respective fiancés, husbands, and they're like, oh my gosh, it happened. Or they didn't say it happened again, but it happened or whatever. So there's some drama, some real drama finally. So I'm excited about that. You want to predict what's going to happen on the bachelorette party?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I predict that the joint bachelorette party was an effort by the producers to have alcohol and emotions mixed together for the perfect recipe of disaster and drama. And I think it backfires. I think the girls actually get along, have a fabulous time, and the only real drama that there is the fact that they missed their flights and that they're a hungover mess.
Right. So, yes, we know that they missed their flights. I predict Peter shows up.
I'm not gonna come. and kills gets everybody.
Gets drunk and decides to stalk every single one of the girls. And then Alexia lies for him and says, no, he's really a good kid. He's just going through a horrible phase and he doesn't get put in jail and they all make it.
And then she buys him a Cuban Link gold chain without diamonds, though.
Right. And while they're there, he gets some rapper producer to help record the next single called Slappin' Hoes in Vegas.
All right. Well, I think that's our... I think that about sums it up.
Well, guys, thanks for watching Real Housewives of Miami After Show. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brooke Chavez LA.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michelle Renee LA.
Have a good night, guys.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.